Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be hearing from our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, ahead of the National Senior Track and Field Championships, which are taking place this weekend in Dublin. Former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan looks ahead to the Harps battle with Longford Town on Friday night in Ballybuffet. Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann talks about his side start of the defence of the All-Ireland Nicky Rackard title on Saturday against Mayo. And 92 All-Ireland winner Martin McHugh runs the rule over the championship in Ulster, which starts on Sunday for Donegal. They, of course, are in Park Esler up against Newry in a first round tie. We're going to start with athletics. Mark English's push towards the Olympic Games will see the Finn Valley man run in Germany this weekend and not defend his national 800 metre title. English is on the verge of qualification for the Games in Japan, but needs to hit the standard of 145.20 to be assured of a place. After Tuesday's win in Sweden, where he ran 145.60, his team felt a quality field at the World Athletics Continental Tour event in Leverkusen on Sunday could get him over the line. Highlands Athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal says this is a very important weekend for Mark.
Well, I mean, the situation with him is he's in Leverkusen in Germany at the moment, and he went straight from... I'm trying to remember all the cities he's been in recent times, but he was in Karlstad in Sweden, and he's gone from Karlstad down into Leverkusen, and he runs Sunday in Leverkusen, and hopefully will be a sharp, sharp, sharp race. And that'll be his final shot at a big time race before the Olympic Games. Now, it's also important to relate. He currently is in 47th position in the ranking lists. 48 people qualify in that event. So, you know, he's very aware that he needs to keep his ranking strong. And as a result, this is why he's in Leverkusen rather than being...
He need to do another 145 there, then, Patsy, no matter if he gets as far as 0.2, as long as it was in that 145 range.
Well, he needs to really run down there in that 44-45 area. You know, 145-20 is the standard. So I mean, he needs to break 145-20.
Right. Okay. So it's not 100% guaranteed then that he's going to the Olympics as we speak, then, Patsy, is it?
Well, see, nothing is because there's still a few days of qualification left for everybody. Now, he is in a qualifying position. That's very important to say that. But, you know, you just have to wait out. Now, we got a bit of a surprise over last weekend because there was a very fast race in Poland. Two or three more qualifiers came out of that race. And we're just watching the scene, particularly in America and in Europe, you know. So, you know, now also it has to be said as well that there are a number of athletes in that qualification 48 list that haven't ran for a couple of years. So will they be taken out of it or will they be left in it? There's, you know, it's just getting down to the, as they say now in the modern term, get the squeaky bum time now. It's getting really serious, you know, to see how it'll all fall down now in the next couple of days.
Okay, we'll wait to see what happens over the weekend in relation to Mark English.
Absolutely. Sorry for interrupting you, Oisin, but it's just to make the point. To run in the Nationals, when we discussed this, to run in the Nationals, it's very unlikely, you know, Mark English would be favourite to win the Nationals. And he has won National after National after National. And that would gain him 100 points, but it wouldn't get him the fast time we figure. So this is why he's in Leverkusen.
Yeah. Can he break? Is he capable of getting that 145.2?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sure, in the last night in Karlstad, only for atrocious weather, nobody to really go head-to-head with him. He won the race easy, and he was only a couple of bits of a second off it. So, I mean, he just needs somebody to drag him round, and then he kicks off the bend, and he goes for the line. That didn't happen in Karlstad because he was a quality athlete in the race, on form, on the night, and nobody to challenge him.
Will he have somebody to pull him round come the weekend in Germany?
Yes.
There's a runner there to do that?
And so they're setting that up, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's the latest on Mark English. He's not going to be at the Nationals. He's going to be in Germany. We'll all keep a close eye on that, Patsy. But there is, of course, a host of other athletes from the Northwest who are all heading to Santry for 3 days of action. It gets underway on Friday. We'll start with your own girl, Summer Leckie, joint winner of the high jump last year. She had a very, very good jump recently in England, where she won the championship there last weekend. She's going on as one of the favourites for the high jump again, Patsy.
Yes, she is. And, you know, she just needs to find her form to be sure. And, you know, yes, as you say, she tied for the championship last year. She is a former winner of the championship, and she's a big time jumper. So you have to hope that it would all come together for her on the day. Now, she's still trying to find her real form. But she is, as we know from over many, many years, she's a quality athlete. And we're looking forward to her performance at the weekend. Absolutely.
Yeah. No John Kelly this year. He's out injured. So up steps the brother James. He won silver last year, and he's going to go in the shot. Gavin McLaughlin of Lifford's Durban also in the shot as well, if I'm right, Patsy. So there could be a couple of medals coming back down the road for Donegal again.
Aye. Well, Gavin McLaughlin's Finn Valley as well. So the two of them could be a Finn Valley 1-2 there. And that would be a very interesting, a really nice story to think the two boys out of the same club out of Donegal could get 1-2. That's the target. McLaughlin and Kelly to hit 1 and 2 on the day. And unfortunately, John's in Sweden, and they had a bit of an operation. And, you know, he's out for the season, but we're looking forward to getting him back again. But James will have to just carry the can this time, along with Gavin McLaughlin, as far as we here in Donegal are concerned at Finn Valley. So basically, a 1-2. We're looking for a 1-2. Let's see what happens.
Okay, let's talk about Lifford's Durban. Gavin Crawford's going in the javelin, Brendan O'Donnell in the hammer, two big names in throws event for them, and they'll be looking for medals, and they'll be chasing gold again, Patsy.
Yes, they will, and Brendan O'Donnell's the defending champion in the hammer, a great achievement for him last year, and he's thrown over 61 and around 61, 62 this year. So, you know, he's going to be in there shooting for a medal, most definitely shooting for a medal, and indeed he'd be thinking in his mind that he can win this, so good luck to him. I hope that can happen. And obviously his other hammer-throwing compatriot from Lifford's Durban, Adrian Gallen, broke the Donegal record over 50 metres. She got a medal last year, and you know, I expect her to get into the medals again this time. Maybe she may not win it because of the girl from Bandon that's particularly good, and there's another girl from Mayo particularly good. But the bronze medal is there for Adrian if she can really kick it out there. And as you say, Gareth Crawford, he got a medal in the nationals a few times at senior level. He's thrown over 65 metres at the moment. You know, it'd be nice to think that he could break a Donegal record, his Donegal record, which is 66 plus. So, you know, all worth watching the three of them. Very, very, very interesting to watch the three of them, those three throwers from Lifford's Durban. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of Tyrconnell athletes as well, chasing medals. Conal McMahon in the triple jump. And as always, we know Kelly McGrory always steps up when it comes this time of year to national competitions, and she's a good bet for a medal.
And she's not only a good bet for a medal, she's in the best form of her life, really. She's 59.77, the first Donegal athlete ever to break 60 seconds over 400-metre hurdles. So, I mean, she's going to be looking to win the title. She has done it before now. And so let's hope that she can do the business on the day from Tyrconnell Athletic Club, of course. And as you say, Conal McMahon. The interest around him is, you know, yes, he can get a medal. Yes, he can jump 14 metres plus. Can he break Nick Sweeney from Dunmow's long, long, long standing Donegal triple jump record? That would be the kind of story I'd be looking for in the championships from him. And he's been very close. He's only been a few centimetres off that mark. And it'd be nice to see the triple jump record fall and a new name appearing there. So that's Conal McMahon. Yes, he can get a medal. He can get a medal. And again, Tyrconnell Athletic Club, yeah.
Yeah, obviously we have to mention the Flanagans from County Tyrone. Is there anybody else from Donegal that would have hopes of getting the medal, Patsy?
No, I think that's about that's in my head now at the minute. That would be the tally on Donegal. Then, as you say, the Flanagan sisters, Roisin and Elise ran last weekend in Madrid. She is in an interesting position. Both of them have come home for the summer from Adams State University. Both of them are standout athletes. Eilish is the national collegiate champion from the States, and she's not all that far away from Olympic qualifying. You see, but again, just to underline it, Eilish, they're from Garchin, and she is in 55th position at the moment in the world rankings for the Olympic Games, 45 qualify in that event. She'll get 100 points if she wins the nationals. She's got a race on her hands against a girl called Michelle Finn, who has qualified for the Olympics. So it's very much up in the air for Eilish. And there is a possibility come the weekend that I could be telling a story about a young girl from Garchin having got to the Olympic Games. But she's a wee bit off it, so we'll have to just, fingers crossed, that everything else in the world of steeplechase works in her favour. Her sister also, I've no doubt that she'll medal as well, Roisin. So in on the track. So there's a lot of stories over the 3 days. The championship started on the Friday and go on through Saturday and Sunday. So it's a busy weekend. And obviously, again with the COVID story, 400 people are going to be allowed in on Saturday, but it's hard to get a ticket, and an athlete needs to indicate tea, and it's just so messy. And as a result of the COVID situation, Dempsey McGuigan, who would be expected to win the Hammer, is not travelling because he just isn't prepared to do 7 days sitting around in quarantine. And Molly Gribben, who got a medal a year ago or so in the long jump, isn't going to travel from the States because she would be sitting in a bloody hotel somewhere for a couple of weeks. And that, I just told her to stay where she is. So basically, it's about the people we've talked about. So it's going to go through mainly heats on Friday night, and then the real stories started to emerge on the Saturday. So just to say, from Highland News' point of view, I'll be on the case right through Saturday and Sunday.
Good stuff, Patsy. Let's look forward to a busy weekend. Many thanks for joining us, Patsy. Speak to you over the weekend.
Thanks, Patsy.
Moving on to soccer now on the Score. Finn Harps host the Premier Division's basement side Longford Town tomorrow night, Friday, as the Donegal club look to put some further points between themselves and the bottom two. Ollie Horgan's Chargers go into the game after two defeats in the past week to Derry City and the league leader St Patrick's Athletic. Derry, meanwhile, are unbeaten in their last 9 games and travel to Dundalk this weekend. In our latest League of Ireland chat, Dermot Doherty was joined earlier today by former Finn Harps captain and now Dungannon Swifts player Keith Cowan. Firstly, Keith spoke about his move from Glentoran to Dungannon.
It's one that I'm really looking forward to. I spoke to Dean Shields, the manager there, a couple of times over the last few weeks. And I suppose after leaving Glentoran, there was a couple of different offers on the table. There was two clubs in Belfast, again, it's that commitment of how many times can you get up the road. I suppose, still being a teacher working in Collishalley, you have to, that has to be your first protocol, and you have to make sure that you're doing that job right. So, no, I'm very looking forward to the challenge. I suppose not playing as much as I would have wanted this season with Glentoran. The club's had a great year, and European football again, coming up in a few weeks' time is great for the club. But look, very much looking forward to the challenge that Dungannon will bring. Not the season that they would have wanted last year. I know Dean's come in there and he's tried to, adapt his style of things to the players and to the team that's there. I know then that they had a big clear out of players, and they're at the minute they're signing. Obviously myself has come in. Joe McCready there from Ballymena came in yesterday, and they're adding another guy from Ballymena. And James Knowles as well has come in. So they're adding league experience, which is required, because it seemed to be the youthful side of things that was, carrying them through last season, and, have a lot of good young players in there. So hopefully I can bring a bit of experience to it and help them push up the table for next season.
Okay, well, looking ahead to this weekend's action then in the League of Ireland, Keith, Harps hosting Longford Town on Friday night, and they go into that game after two disappointing defeats, a close game against Derry, which they were perhaps unfortunate to lose out, and then on Monday night against St Pat's. Played well in the first half by all accounts, but St Pat's eased into victory in the end.
Yeah, it was a strange game. I watched the game, and first half especially, I thought Harps were right in the game. They really tested Pat's at times, and there was a dubious shout for a penalty, which from my eyes, and I know a lot of the Hearts fans at the time as well, and the commentators were thinking it was definitely a penalty ruled out by the lines, when the referee wasn't interested. He's actually, I think it's actually come off a Hearts player, but then getting all the referees give a corner, so it was hard to really. I don't know if he was going to balance it out that way, which you can see Ollie was really annoyed on the sideline. You could see the players at halftime, remonstrating with the referee why or how he couldn't have seen it. And then I suppose from that there, Pat's really took control of the game, and their talisman at the minute, Ronan Collins, came up with a great goal, great individual play inside the box. Maybe it could have been Mark Coyle, an opportunity maybe to hook the ball clear before that. It's come to Coughlin in the box. He's shown great feet, and he smashed it past Mark McGinley in the net to put them ahead of the break. So disappointed from Hearts that type of way. As I said, they started really well in the game into the second half then, and when Pats got the second, it was just sort of plain sailing for them. Then they were knocking the ball around and you know, like, really just growing in confidence, and Hearts just seemed a bit dead on their feet. You could see the heads had dropped slightly, unfortunately. So, you know, they'll be looking to Friday night to put that right. They'll not be happy, I'm sure, once they watch the game back, and they'll be doing their video analysis and things, and there'll be a few fingers pointed, no doubt, and lads won't be happy. So hopefully there'll be a massive response come Friday night, which is a really big game for Hearts.
Yeah, it sure is. And Hegarty and Ollie Horgan were forced to make a few changes as well, Keith. It's interesting, Ryan Rainey coming in for his first start. Conor Barry played for the first time in the starting 11 since the very first game of the season. And then they brought in the young lads off the bench. There were three debutants, which is always good to see.
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, I suppose it's always great to see that pathway, you know, from the academy to the first team. You know, great to see the young lads getting a run. You know, unfortunately, it was one of them ones kind of, is the game gone? And to give them that experience, I suppose that doesn't really matter as long as they're getting that experience, you know, in first team action in Premier Division football, which is massive for them at that age. You know, the local lad, Ryan Rainey, coming into the centre of the park, didn't really put a foot wrong. They push Will Seymour to right back and then Ethan Boyle over to the left-hand side. But Ryan's done really well. He's, you know, for coming in his first start, you know, as I said, a lot of pressure on him. I suppose a lot of eyes on him, a bit of expectancy there. But against that midfield of, you know, Benson and Forrester for Pats, you know, he's done really well. And, you know, as I say, I couldn't put a foot wrong. I'm hoping now that maybe he gets a couple of running games. You know, I know it might have been injuries or suspensions that might have got him in there. But hopefully he's showing Ollie and Paul Hegarty that, you know, that there is trust there and that he can do a job. And as I say, hopefully he's not just judged maybe on one game, that he gets a couple of games now in the team and see where it takes them.
Yeah, because when you have injuries and suspensions, there is an opportunity for players like Ryan Rainey to step into the breach. And of course, Harps now dealing with the situation where Mark Russell has departed and gone to Greenock Martin. Was that something that came as a surprise to you, Keith?
I suppose, you know, you haven't really seen him feature in the last few weeks. And, you know, I still keep in contact with some of the guys. And I think maybe it would be a case where Mark maybe just wasn't happy here. You know, maybe he wasn't getting as much football as he thought he would have got. And that's always that case as well, where, you know, some guy, you know, if he's travelling across the water, and we all know Mark's from Scotland, and, you know, he's come over to Hearts a couple of years ago, done a great job. I think maybe he always had aspirations of maybe moving home and trying to get a club, or, you know, to further his career, you know. So not saying that maybe Greenock Martin is a massive step up, but, you know, the boy has to be happy playing his football, and maybe that just wasn't the case this year.
Yeah, well, he did enjoy a good career with Hearts, and we can wish him all the best in what's another new chapter for him and his career. And the hope is, I suppose, Keith, is that there won't be any more departures, because Ollie Horgan has got a pretty decent squad there.
Yeah, you know, we were really excited at the start of the year when we saw the squad that Ollie was putting together. You know, a lot of experience in there. You know, we mentioned the likes of Ethan Boyle, you know, obviously Dave Webster there before, Adam Foley, you know, trying to keep the basis of last year's squad together. You know, he has got a lot of good players in. You know, so, like, we're seeing the squad obviously stretched now. We know Webster's injured this weekend as well. He's got ligament damage. We know that Carol Sullivan will be back in, which is massive, which is a great player for Hearts. You know, has popped up with a couple of goals. Foley seems to be obviously leading the line very well. You know, his position at times, we see him maybe operating on the right or maybe on the left at times. And every time he's put down the middle, he tends to score. So, you know, there's one where, you know, they have a headache to try and get the balance right. You know, we have Olabi up top as well, who's done really well in recent weeks for me. You know, he's done everything but score, really. You know, he's worked hard. You know, he tries to, he sort of plays on the shoulder. He's full of energy. You know, he's very direct. If he can get his goal, and that's kind of the last week night there against Pats, where he's done really well. He's, for me, he's won his penalty, because that's going to give him a lift as well. That's going to give him huge confidence, because he's actually doing something for the team. But when that's waved away, it's kind of like the same old, you know, so it can be difficult for him. He needs that goal to try and get him, you know, or that couple of extra goals to try and get him up and running. And as I say, when players are injured, when players are missing through suspension or whatever, they have to reshuffle the pack. So that's why you have a big squad, I suppose.
What about Longford Town then, Keith? They haven't really won all that many games in the Premier Division since their arrival from last season, but they have made it hard for the better teams in this division.
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, they're propping up the table there, Longford, at the moment, but, you know, they have caused teams trouble, you know, more notably than Harps, I suppose. You know, the return fixture or the reverse fixture at the start of the season was a 0-0 down there. Yeah, they have caused team problems. I know they picked up a draw against Dundalk there recently as well. You know, they've gone into the Brandywell at the Ryan McBride and picked up a point there. So, you know, there'll be no mugs. You know, they'll be looking at this as a massive opportunity for themselves to pick up points too. So, you know, again, Ollie never takes any team lightly. He'll be getting the boys right up for this one. They'll be disappointed themselves. I think they might have maybe 1-1-8, you know, which is, you know, if we look at the start of the season, how things have went, it's a disappointing run, and it's, you know, it can become a rut, and it's not, you know, as much as winning can become a habit, losing can become a really bad habit as well. So this is a game where Harps, you know, will want to be bang up for it. They should be foaming at the mouth, chomping the bit to get out on Friday night and sort of get that 3 points back on the thing, and, you know, and flip their season around again.
Yeah, because they have played well in recent games. They played well against Sligo Rovers and Ballybuffet, and again against Derry City. And okay, didn't manage to take anything from either game, Keith, but a similar performance, you'd like to think that should be good enough to get the better of Longford.
Yeah, and that'll be the most frustrating thing, I think, for Harps players at the moment, and fans and management. It's the capabilities, you know, of going out and beating the teams, you know, like the start of the season, beating Bowes, beating Dundalk, you know, like huge results, beating Derry and the Brandywell. You know, they went to Tala, you know, a couple weeks before, and, you know, and did really well. And, you know, I think as well as any Harps team has done in recent years, going to Tala and putting it right up to the league leaders, you know, who have a wealth of players, and, you know, to try and stifle what any opposition are going to bring. But, you know, Harps did a really good job against them. Really unfortunate with the manner that they conceded. And again, that's something that we have seen over the last couple of months, I suppose, is the manner in which Harps are conceding goals. Take away from maybe Monday night, which just seemed to be, you know, one where Pats just had a real good night and Harps had an off night. But Harps right in games, it's maybe a set piece, it's maybe, you know, just a lack of concentration that seems to be costing them. And that's something, you know, maybe that can be the difference. You know, maybe is there a lack of leadership in there? I know the captain, obviously Webster, has been out the last couple of games. He's a huge loss for them. He's a great player. You know, he seems to be the one that, like, gets the players going, gets them organized. So the sooner he gets back, the better. And you know, the sooner Harps get back to winning ways, I think the better as well.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden they're looking over their shoulders, aren't they, at Waterford and Longford below them, and two teams that have moved ahead of them on the table, Dundalk and Derry City. They meet on Friday night as well, a big game at Oriel Park, and given Derry's good run of form, they can approach this one with plenty of confidence, Keith.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Dundalk are very, very up and down at the minute. Obviously, we know that there's been the managerial appointment. Vinnie Perth has come in for his second spell, you know, after getting the sack, you know, couple of months ago. So he's back in the fold. He's got them back to winning ways. You know, Derry going there since Rory Higgins has come in the end of April has been fantastic. You know, and Derry have really, really picked up. They've done really well. I think it might be 5 wins, 5 draws, maybe 1 loss, and that was actually against Harps that night in the Ryan McBride. So no, Derry seem to be flying. You know, they've whatever Rhys done since he's come in, he's got, you know, a nice mix in there. You know, a bit of youth, obviously Ronan Boyce, young man, doing exceptionally well. You know, 5 goals, playing right back, right side centre half at times. You know, he's done exceptionally well. You know, got the equaliser against Sligo there Monday night, which is superb. You can just see that the confidence is flowing through the young fella, and, you know, and long may it last. I suppose on the flip side of that, for Derry, they have young Will Patchen, who is actually on loan from Dundalk. So, you know, he's been actually their top scorer so far this year. I think he's maybe on 6 or 7 goals. And, you know, the thought of losing him, I'm sure Rui behind the scenes has been working with the management, trying to get players in. Now, obviously, the transfer window is opening very shortly. So he'll be looking to strengthen. And if Will Patchen goes back to Dundalk, like it looks like he will, then there'll definitely be a space there to fill.
There you go. Well, the top two sides in the Premier Division are also in action on Friday night, Keith. St. Pat's at Waterford and Shamrock Rovers, who lost last weekend against Bowes, they'll be hoping for a good result against Drogheda and Tallaght.
Yeah, you know, that's one that Shamrock Rovers very disappointed there with their loss against Bohemians on Monday night. So they'll be looking to get back to winning ways. They dictated the game for long spells, had lots of chances, hit the bar early on. Bradley came out and said, you know, I think they had enough chances to win a couple of games after the first half and should have been well out of sight. But look, it's all about converting your chances, and they didn't do that. And it was great to see young Georgie Kelly get another goal for Bowes and, you know, really setting the league alight now in the last couple of weeks, you know, leading the goal scoring charts with 11 goals. So it's great to see a local man in the League of Ireland tearing it up there. So, yeah, Shams will be looking to get back to winning ways. Drogheda, you know, who looked, you know, a bit of a dark horse there come the sort of the middle of the season there. Last couple of weeks have been doing really well. Obviously, the last 2 weeks, they have struggled. You know, Bowes putting 5 past them, which is, you know, and again, Georgie Kelly getting 4 of those. That was last weekend. And then, you know, another defeat there. I think it was Dundalk there last time out. So, look, Tim Clancy will want to get those guys organised as well. You know, they've a lot of experience in there. You know, they're a good side, just come up. So, now they'll be looking to put that right as well. And again, Shamrock Rovers will be looking to, you know, to get back on top and to put a bit of daylight between themselves and Pat.
And the weekend's fixtures come to a conclusion on Saturday night then, Keith, with Sligo against Bowes. Georgie Kelly could well be up against a former teammate of your own, Shane Blaney, who's been in and out of the Sligo team, but he played against Derry the other night, didn't he? So he'll be hoping to keep his place.
Yeah, you know, great to see Shane getting a run on the team. I think he'd struggled maybe a couple of niggles early on the season and was sort of in and out. But last couple of weeks, he seems to be getting more game time. I think he came on against Drogheda might have been a couple of weeks back and, you know, actually scored in a 2-1 defeat. But great to see him get a goal. Unfortunately, the last night against Derry, it was maybe a deflected shot. I think it might have just came off him and, you know, averted the ball into the net. That's that goal that we talked about earlier there from Ronan Boyce. So, you know, great to see Shane. I said I played with him and he was part of the car school from the Dry Arts there up to Ballofay many years ago. So, you know, great to see him, good young lad, and hope that he just maintains that good run of form and stays injury free.
Okay, then, Keith. And finally, just a word on the fact that we, you know, we're still in this easing of restrictions and the fans allowed back in to watch the action at Premier Division level. It was great to see, you know, a decent crowd there for the Derry City game, 100 or so spectators watching that one. The result didn't go their way, but there'll be fans back again in Ballybuffet on Friday night, Keith. And they always have a part to play, don't they, in the home fixtures for Harps?
Yeah, I suppose no more so now than ever before that Harps will need that lift. You know, I think the season can be quite a grind at times, you know, and obviously they had that great start. You know, they sort of having this lull now in the middle where, you know, things just don't seem to be going right for them. They aren't getting that rub of the green that they did early on, you know. So the fans will have a part to play, and no doubt when Harps gave them something to cheer about, they'll be right behind them, and I think it'll be massive for them. Whoever finds their way into the game on Friday night, and whoever's standing up behind the gate or the fence or whatever it is, you know, they'll all play their part too. So no, massive to get the fans back in. You know, like there's no better feeling as a player. You know, sometimes when you go out there at Finn Park and you know everyone's behind you and like really spurring you on. So, you know, there's no better roar than a Finn Park roar at times. So no, it'll be great to get as many people into the games and just get right behind the team again.
Okay, Keith, it's been great to talk to you again. We'll have full match commentary on Friday night. Declan Boyle will be joining myself in commentary, and we'll be in association with McNulty's Top Oil Filling Station and Mace Store in Stranorder. We're looking forward to that. That's Friday night from around about 10 to 8. So Harps against Longford, one of five games in the Premier Division this coming weekend. Another busy programme of fixtures, and we're looking forward to some plenty of entertainment and hopefully a Harps victory. Keith Cowan, thanks for now.
Cheers, Jeremy. Thank you.
To Gaelic games. Donegal start the defence of their Nicky Rackard All-Ireland hurling title on Saturday at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. The clash with Mayo, the side they beat at Croke Park last November to lift that title. Donegal also got the better of the Connacht men in their recent league meeting in the month of May. A win for the home side would give them the advantage of getting top spot in the group, but all is not lost if they suffer defeat, with a game against Leitrim to come in 2 weeks' time. After a productive Division 2B campaign, Donegal manager Mickey McCann says his side are now in championship mode.
Preparation's been good, Oisin. We've maybe picked up a couple of injuries in the last week at training and stuff, which kind of has a blow to us, you know. But apart from that, we've been training very well. I'm looking forward to Mayo again on Sunday in O'Donnell Park and trying to make most of the home advantage and our good record there in O'Donnell Park, you know.
Yeah, so who are you down this weekend then, Mickey?
We've lost Jared Gilmore and Padraig Doherty, who's both carried knocks, and Padraig hurt his knee, but results of scan came back this morning, actually, and it's non-serious. He'd be okay in a couple of weeks' time, so, and Jared the same. And I suppose Conor O'Grady's carrying a suspension from the last league match in Derry. So three boys that started against Derry, Oisin, are out, you know. So look, we just have to go to strength and depth of the panel and pick two or three new faces, and hopefully they can do a job for us, you know.
Yeah. Listen, Mickey, on the league front, you stayed in the division. That was your aim. That was your first target for the year. But you got a lot of bonuses out of that league. Did you maybe perform better than you were expecting to in the division?
Well, I suppose first day out, Roscommon, you know, we just got over the line and played probably very average, but maybe expected, considering we're only back 2 weeks. The turned me over, then Oisin was a massive one for us, you know. That made us safe in the division, and those two games we targeted was Roscommon and Mayo, and it worked out that way to get 4 points, and that kept us safe, you know. Got a bad beating against Kildare away from home, Oisin, played poorly, but maybe they were just a step above us, you know. But away to Derry, Oisin, probably a penalty call near the end. But switching off for 10 minutes to start of the game, we could have beat them, you know. They scored 3:20 away to Derry. You should be looking to win the game. So, look, the Derry performance for 40 minutes, Oisin, is probably as good as we played even since myself and Gabriel and Jamesy took over the job. So, look, we're in a good place, Oisin. I think we're hurling well, but you've got to carry it on game by game, you know. The last game means nothing, really.
Yeah. So what sort of Mayo team are you expecting this week? Because whoever loses, it doesn't mean the end of the road. It's not like the football where there's a knockout championship. You all have another crack at progressing out of the group. So how significant will this game be in the eyes of Mayo, Mickey?
I suppose it's just keeping a wee mental barrier over if you keep beating them, Oisin. But really, if we did beat Mayo, I'd expect them to come through the other side and you'd meet them again in the final, you know. And you can't look past Tyrone and Armagh, who on their day can beat us, and Tyrone beat put Mayo to the competition a couple of seasons ago. So, look, there's going to be a lot of hurling played after Saturday, I think, all I can say. We'll be going to keep our home record in Donald Park and keep one above Mayo, you know, trying to just keep that one mentality. What Mayo's going to bring, I don't know what way they're thinking, but I'd expect that they'll want to win, Oisin, and maybe go through the easier side of the draw. So look, it's a big game, but at the same time, there's a lot of hurling to be played after Saturday's result, and if you do get beat, it's just getting the heads right again to know that you've still a good chance in the competition, you know.
Yeah, so what you're saying is we can't really read too much into the even the league game in which you played Mayo a number of weeks ago?
No, look, I feel Mayo did come to one, but I think we got a lot of momentum, Oisin, and one of them days we played very well up front too, and the defence was on top. Mayo's heads did drop now, and I expect that not to happen again. If you look at the league there, Mayo's the only team that put it up to Kildare. Actually, they were 5 points up at half time the last day out, and both teams were playing for the league. Although we beat Mayo, they still, if they'd have beat Kildare, they would have had the head to head over them, and they've been up league champions. So on their day, Mayo can hurt very well, actually, and they've been up in 2A for a couple of seasons. So you just really can't let them settle, or they'll punish you, you know.
Yeah, and no Keith Higgins that day. We expect him possibly to be lining out this coming weekend at the Arama Park.
Yes, I can't see why not. Actually, you know, and you know, that's a bit people talking about showing your hand now and this, but these players need game time. The games are few and far between the way things are, you know, and there's nothing better for players than getting games, and that's the way we're looking at it, and we'll be putting out what we're full, and you know what, whoever's fit first will be playing and trying to win the game. But as I say, if that doesn't happen, there's still a lot of hurling to be played, and we just have to regroup and go again 2 weeks later against Leitrim, you know.
Yeah. All right then, Mickey, good to talk to you, and the best of luck this coming weekend.
Okay, Oisin, thanks.
Donegal boss Mickey McCann, and we will of course have full live match commentary from that game this coming Saturday afternoon. 2:30 is the start time at the Adonna Park in Letterkenny. I'll be joined in commentary by Colin Brannock. That's Donegal against Mayo this coming weekend in Group A of the Nicky Rackard Cup. Well, the main focus on Sunday on the Gaelic Games front is of course going to be the Ulster Senior Football Championship. It starts with the first round tie of Donegal and Down in Newry. Having surrendered the Ulster title to Cavan in 2020, Declan Bonner's Chargers get back to Championship mode at Park Esler as they try to reclaim the Anglo-Celt Cup. The winner will go to the quarterfinals with home advantage against Derry, while the loser will see their short season come to an end. In the big match preview this week, I've been speaking with 1992 All-Ireland winner Martin McHugh about what lies ahead for Donegal and Down. So, Martin, the Ulster Championship up and running this weekend. Same as last year, we have got knockout format here once again. And for somebody this weekend, the short season is going to come to an abrupt end, so it is.
Yeah, that's it. I think by Sunday evening, there'll be 7 teams out of the All-Ireland Championship. So it definitely is different. And, you know, for teams, maybe the players that are not used to the knockout, that always had the back door there, it is definitely different. And suppose as teams found out last year, you know, it's all about on the day and performing on the day, and that's what it's about, and matches are going to be finished on the day as well. So definitely, Oisin, it is different. You have to perform, you have to get it right. And I think the big thing is having leaders on the field. I think that's the most important thing with this, that, you know, the management can only, I know they have the water break maybe, which is a wee bit of help and everything else, but in normal times, players have to make that decision on the field and get it exactly right.
Yeah. You mentioned on the day, Martin, you have to be on your game on the day. Donegal weren't on their game against Cavan last year in the Ulster final, which was very, very disappointing. It hurt a lot of Donegal people. The same can't happen this time around against Down. Do you think Donegal have learned from that?
Well, please God, they have learned from that. You know, when we see now that Cavan have gone to Division 4, you know, disappointed it was. And I mean, it's plain to be seen that, looking at it, that maybe we're all to blame for this here, that supporters, media and players alike in Donegal, that we took our eye off the ball and everybody was talking about playing Dublin and everything else. That's the one lesson, good lesson out of it. You know, you have to perform on the day. It doesn't matter what team you're playing against. And we know it's basically the same situation on Sunday. Is that Donegal are going in as red hot favourites into this game. Everybody expecting Donegal to win the match. You're playing down in their own backyard and everything else. So definitely you're spot on there, Oisin. It was a good lesson last year, and that you know, there'll be no mistakes made this time.
No Oran McNeilis for the game this weekend after injury picked up against Dublin, Martin. Michael Murphy, we are told, is going to be okay, according to Donegal manager Declan Bonner, but will not be 100% cert until we see Michael Murphy take to the field on Sunday. If there is no Michael Murphy, can Donegal cope without the likes of Murphy and McNeilis this weekend?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, Michael Murphy is a massive blow to, you know, any team in Ireland that lose their best player. And suppose the other situation is the right-footed free kick in the games that we were covering there in the league when he was missing. You know, I mean, we had 3-4 different players kicking them and everything else, and then Patrick McBrady went to take most of them in the last day out. So I just think that Logan, you know, was just his leadership qualities. The other thing about Michael Murphy is that probably the other teams spend most of their time in their tactics table and looking at it is all they're talking about maybe is Michael Murphy and putting two men on him and everything else to mark him and how to stop the ball going through to him and everything else. So, you know, hopefully he's fit to go. Maybe he's not 100% everything else, but hopefully he's fit to go because it will help the other players in the field and take a bit of pressure off them. I think from Oran McNeilis' point of view, it's just disappointing because if you're lucky enough to get over the match, I think Oran needs game time and everything else. And with what you said, said early on, Oisin, it could be knockout competition. We just, you know, we need players need to get game time into them and everything else. And then the other thing is that, you know, we have to perform on the day. So yeah, disappointing as well. And I think Oisin Gallen mightn't be available either because he picked up an infection or something. So yeah, it's up to other players to stand up and everything else. But as you said, it's championship football, and you know, you've got subs and everything else and a panel of players, and that's what they're there for. And you know, the tactical battle as well will be different, but please God, Michael Murphy's fit to play, because you know, we're going to need him.
In relation to Down, what's the key matchups going to be this coming weekend, Martin, in the match, do you feel?
Well, you look at Down, and we look back to last year's championship when they were beat by Cavan, but their first half performance against Cavan last year was as good as we've seen in the championship. And I was actually during the week there talking to the Cavan management, to Mickey Graham and Darren McCabe, and I was just asking them about Down, and they said that they've never come up against a team with more pace than Down. And he said, if you try to stop them going up the wings, they will come down through the middle with pace at you. So you have to have to crowd them out in that situation and make sure you don't give them room, because we know even Keelan Mooney coming from the midfield battle, and whoever gets a job of picking him up, you know, Keelan McGonigal is normally given the job of marking the player in the middle of the field. So I take it he'll be marking Keelan Mooney on Sunday, and I think it's important that Keelan doesn't allow him to get started. If he gets started running at you with the ball, he's very hard to stop, and if he takes a ball at pace, he's got a lot of pace about him. The other thing, suppose we look at the key battles, is they will probably, and they've always done that, whether they play him at fullback or centre back, Kevin McKiernan and Oisin, they will play him as sweeper, and they use that. So what Donegal do with that there? Do they take the likes of Q McFadden, who normally plays sweeper for Donegal, take him off Kevin McKiernan? Are we going to leave Kevin McKiernan free, or push a player up on him? I'd like to see Donegal pushing a player on him and putting him under a lot of pressure, because he's a player that's a very, very good footballer. He's very good on the ball, but he wouldn't be a good marker. He wouldn't be known to be a good marker or anything else. So that's a big... what decision Donegal make in that situation? Now, maybe Down will make a decision if Michael Murphy doesn't play, that they maybe don't need Kevin McKiernan to play as deep as he normally plays. And, you know, then up front, Donal O'Hare is a very good free taker, and you know, it would be important not to be giving away silly frees. But I think what Down carry is their pace. We've always said Donegal have been very quick and fast. You're coming up against a team with a lot of pace, and Down playing in their own home patch and everything else. And we look at their last couple of games. They played Westmeath, and who both teams wanted a one because neither team wanted to play Cork. And Down were 13 points to 4 up against Westmeath at a stage in it. They won the game 14-13, Oisin, but they were very good early on in that match. And they beat Laois in the last game, which is an important match for them. So look at Down in championship. We know in the past are always good in championship. So, you know, Donegal's going to need what we didn't get against Cavan last year, is a good start.
Yeah. Just in relation to the pace, Martin, we were caught with pace, particularly in the Monaghan game. During the league, it's a question similar to what I asked you earlier. Did we learn from the Cavan defeat? Have we learned from the Monaghan draw? And do you expect maybe a tighter game now come championship than the open football that we've seen over the course of the league?
Well, it's definitely, we're going to have to go more defensive. As you exactly said, the Monaghan game was a game that they could have 9 goals at a stage in Monaghan in that game. And I mean, other teams are, you know, are going to score goals against you. And Down teams in the past have always been good getting goals. And that this team have got goals in all their National League games. So they're capable of scoring goals. So I think it's very, very important from Donegal's point of view to close it out early on. What's the pace and everything else? And you're exactly right. Monaghan burnt us with pace. And we normally are a team that had pace, but they really destroyed us of pace. So it's important to tighten that whole area up, play more defensive when they're attacking, and try to open it up. And you know, we've got the forwards up front to win that ball in there and get scores. The other thing we have big men around the middle of the field, which Down wouldn't have in that area, and we have to make use of that, put pressure on their kick out in that area, and try to win our own kick outs with the power and the physical power we have in that area. But you're exactly right, Oisin. Pace has caused us a problem for the first time I've ever seen it in my time watching Donegal, wasn't that Monaghan game especially.
Yeah, okay. What about up at the other end? We need Patrick McBurtie singing on Sunday, do we, at Park Esler?
Yeah, look at, he's been playing really, really well. And, you know, with Michael Murphy missing, and, you know, give him Patrick a lot of credit. He's taken on that mantle of the main man in the full forward line, and he's kicked some brilliant scores when he needed, and got us back into games with great scores and everything else. So, yeah, we know how good a player he is. He's physically able to win his own ball and everything else. And, you know, he'll definitely not let you down, and he'll score. You know, he's very, very accurate with the right foot of free kicks. You know, we had it in the past in Colin McFadden. Now you have Patrick McBurtie and everything else. So I think, you know, know, definitely he's a match winner. If we can get enough ball to him, we know Down struggle a bit in their full back line. They're, you know, they're, that's why they're playing Kevin McKiernan in front of that full back line to try to stop the supply. But if we get supply in there to whoever's in the full forward line, if Michael Murphy plays and Patrick McBurney together in there, that's where I think we can win the match, as punish their full back line as much as we can and get try to get as good a ball in, because if Patrick McBurney gets a ball in the hand with his physical power he has, he's very, very hard to stop. And yeah, he's going really, really well, and we needed him in the league matches.
Yeah. So do you expect Donegal to have too much for Down on Sunday, Martin?
Yeah, well, look, I think going back to everything that you have said, Oisín, first of all, hopefully we've learned our lesson. Now, we haven't performed well. We've been covering all the National League games, and we haven't performed well, Donegal, in the league games. Probably, you know, every game, we could have lost every one of them. And we didn't lose any of them, but we could have lost every one of them, you know. And look, from that point of view, you know, that's someone we have to, you know, they have to study and study that Down will study a lot, and we have to look at. And we look at it from Down's point of view. You would say, is Down better than Cavan were? People would say, yeah, Down are a better team than Cavan. They stayed in Division 2. Cavan's gone to Division 4. So, yeah, it's not going to be an easy match. Down and Championship are never easy. But I just think that the lessons we learned, the experience we have, and it's a really big year for this bunch of players, and it's one or take all. And I think I'll take a 1.1. You know, that's all I want, even to win it after extra time. It's going to be a tough match. It's going to be difficult Down at home. I talked about the Championship. Down always lift their game for the Championship. They're a different team in the Championship than in the league. But I still think Donegal have enough, and particularly if Michael Murphy's fit to go, and with Patty McBurney going well up front, and expect big games from Kieran Thompson and Michael Lang in the half-forward lane. And I think we'll have enough to get over the line, Oisín.
Just looking at some of the other games, Martin, that's taking place of note this coming weekend. Three. They involve Mayo, Kerry and Louth. Mayo start the Championship Saturday afternoon at 4:30 away to Sligo. No Killian O'Connor for them. They named their team today. Aidan O'Shea is now free of injury and will be available. And Mayo will be looking to lay down a marker early on in the campaign.
Yeah, well, you know, exactly what you said there, no Killian O'Connor. And he's been, when he plays, Mayo go well, because he's an inside forward that can score. And every team that's been successful, we've talked about Michael Murphy with Donegal. We've talked about Patty McBurney with Donegal. You need these inside forwards that are capable of scoring. And it's probably talking about Cavan, is what Cavan are really lacking. They don't have this quality inside forward that's capable of getting a 7-8 points to them. Killian O'Connor was that player for Mayo. So, big blow to them. They're going to need other players to do it now, including the man you're after saying, Aidan O'Shea. But look, they're a team who did really well in the league, got out of Division 2 and back into Division 1, playing against Sligo, who didn't really perform well in Division 4. And with Tony McEntee coming in as manager, they'll be hoping to have got promotion back into Division 3, but they didn't do that. So I expect Mayo to have too much, but down the road looking at it, Killian O'Connor is a big, big blow for them and a big loss to them. And they've been very good in the league, very confident, playing with a lot of confidence, put up big scores. But I think he's the player that they need, right, to have that player inside forward makes a difference, and when the one frees, he's able to do it. His leadership qualities and everything is great. Aidan O'Shea back is a big plus for them, but I think that, you know, they'll definitely have too much for Sligo, and they'll get over the line easy enough against Sligo, but it's what happened later on.
Yeah, Kerry are similar to Donegal. Donegal want to make amends for that defeat to Cavan last year. Kerry had a hugely disappointing year last year, and they're looking to make up for it in 2021. They start against Clare on Saturday, Martin.
Yeah, they are. They're definitely looking to make up for it. I mean, a lot of talk about that Kerry are good enough to put it up to Dublin, and people saying even that Kerry are going to will beat Dublin this year. I don't see it yet in them, because I look at the Tyrone performance again, Kerry Tyrone game. Tyrone were very poor that day by their own standards, very poor, very disappointing, and they still scored 114 against that Kerry defence. Now, if they would do that, what will the Dublin forward line do against the Kerry defence? So I don't think they've solved their problems there. In the Galway game, first game of the league, they played Jack Barry, a sweeper at work. Now, maybe they will revert to playing a sweeper. They don't like playing a sweeper, and a lot of the pundits and a lot of Kerry people don't like to see them playing a sweeper, but I think they need to play someone like Jack Barry, a sweeper. But up front, they've been going really well, and they've been scoring it well. Look at, they'll definitely learn by their mistakes last year. You feel at the minute, it looks like that Dublin are ahead, and that Kerry are a bit ahead of everybody else in second position as well. But I think they'll want to lay down a marker. Clare will be a good enough test for them, but I think Kerry will win it easy enough, Oisín.
Just finally then, we'll go to Leinster. One standout game there that's of note from a North West point of view. Mickey Hart, of course, first year in charge of Louth, getting promotion to Division 3, awfully the opposition on Sunday afternoon in the Championship. How big a test now is this of Mickey Hart's managerial reign with Louth?
Well, I know Mickey Hart will be telling the Louth players, look, it is all about Championship, because that's when he was in Tyrone. I know the league and the McKenna Cup, and that was important to him, but the end of Championship was what it was all about. And I heard they trained Saturday and Sunday last weekend, which normally Louth teams don't do, but they trained last weekend, so they're getting ready for it. Awfully played the game against Derry. I was at it in Croke Park. They were very, very disappointing. Now, I think they have a very good full forward line who've been scoring well up to that match, but Derry got bodies back and they weren't able to cope with it. Now, probably Louth will play fairly defensive, all right, with Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin there, but are the players as comfortable at doing it, we'll say, as the Tyrone players would be used to it from underage up the whole way. So I think that if Offaly can get ball into that full forward line, I still think Offaly will give Louth a lot of trouble. And in the big game in Division 4 against Enda McGinley and Antrim, Louth got beat. So that's the game you go on. So it's a very, very hard game to call, but Mickey Hart and Championship is different than everything else. So look, you'd have to say Louth, you'd have to make them slight favours for it, but I think this game go to the wire. I wouldn't rule out that it would end up a draw and going to extra time in a minute. And I still wouldn't rule out Offaly, because that experience even last weekend will help them. They will see how it is to play against an Ulster team, or maybe to play against a team as they are next weekend, managed by Ulster players and everything else. So I still have a sneaking feeling that Offaly could win that match, Oisín.
Okay, Martin, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thanks, Oisín.
Well, that's it for another Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show, you can, of course, nip over to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. All the content is there. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So until then, what's left of your Thursday, have a good one.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.